Would you go ahead and join me in the book of Ruth? What's in a name? What's in a name? How many here this morning know what your name means? Got a lot of people who know the definition of their name or what their name means. Some maybe like their name, some maybe not so much, depending on the meaning of your name. There is a lady in the book of Ruth named Naomi, and her name, anybody know? Naomi means Naomi. Before she was bitter, her name means pleasant. That's right, pleasant. Have you ever met anybody who's just pleasant? Just, I don't mean like a shock, but some people are just pleasant to be around. Whenever you're around them, they're pleasant. There's a pleasantness about them. Not everyone is pleasant. Audrey is pleasant. Audrey met with a U.S. Borders custom agent this week. She was getting a card to get through security lines quicker, a Nexus card, and tried to engage in a conversation, and it wasn't pleasant. It was just business. And who knows what they were going through in their life or if they have to present that, whatever. But not everybody you face, it's a pleasant experience. Naomi means pleasant, and I'd like to hope that she lives up to her name in this book. But she goes through some pretty rough times. And there are a lot of people who go through rough times. Maybe you're one of those people right now. Have gone through, are going through, or are going to go through rough times. We don't get to choose what we go through. Well, there's sometimes we can make things more complicated than they need to be or harder than they need to be. We have free will and the choices we make, and sometimes we can make a real mess of things. But other times, boy, there are things that happen in our lives that we weren't counting on, we weren't expecting, and just catches us off guard. We could go through situation, lots of people that we know, lots of friends that you know, family members, who've had tragedy strike, and it's just, it seems like more than they can bear. I don't know how you go through such difficult and hard times. I've often said without the Lord, but I don't think people go through without the Lord. I think they just don't recognize the Lord's that Scripture tells us He is the God of all He is the God of all comfort and strength and grace, and so He carries us through. But this lady Naomi, in a moment we're going to be in chapter 1, about verse 19. This lady named Naomi, she lives in the land of gluten. She lives in Bethlehem, and Bethlehem means the house of bread, and so she lives in this land of gluten, and there's a famine in Bethlehem. And so how ironic is this, that there's famine in Bethlehem? Brian, you talked about this book a little while ago. Talked about that very thing. Ironic, there's a famine in this place called named House of Bread. I have no experience with famine. I have, when Superstore doesn't have the right kind of bread that I want, I go to Safeway or Sobeys or Save-On or Costco. It's not a lack of food. It's a lack of preference on a particular brand. Now, I have never been opposed to grocery shopping. In fact, I like it, and I like going with Audrey and placing things in the cart when she's not looking. You know, like little kids do that. They grab and we get to the checkout things are put on the conveyor. And she's like, "How did this get?" Well, I don't know. How did that get there? I have discovered, we have just started a little while ago doing click and collect, so you can online order and go to the grocery store and pick it up. Well, she goes to the computer and does that. I've got the app. And so while she gets the order already, and I have to be careful because there's a cutoff time, and I know what time kind of when she's not going to look anymore. But from anywhere in the world on my app, I can add things to her grocery cart. And so it's the same experience. She gets all these bags, brings these things home, and she pulls out these potato chips and says, "They put these in there." And I go, "Oh, idiots. They can't get it right at all. Better, well, no sense in taking them back." Like, why don't you just, in fact, I like those ones. And so there's ever increasing things that happen in our grocery cart, but that wasn't the case for Naomi and for her husband Elimelech. They lived in Bethlehem, and the famine was real. And so they and their two sons left the land to the country of Moab. And they're there for a little while, but her husband dies. Her sons will marry a couple, will each marry a girl. And after 10 years, the sons will die. And so there's Naomi fleeing from starvation, fleeing from the famine, going to somewhere where there's food and think they're going to be okay, only to lose her husband. And then 10 years later, lose her two sons. Sorrow upon sorrow upon sorrow. She didn't get a choice to go through what she went through. We do get a choice about how we go through. She heard there's bread back in Bethlehem. She decides to go back. What keeps me here? In the land of Moab, I'm from Bethlehem. We came here. My husband has died. My kids, my two boys are dead. I'm going to go back. This is a place of death. I'm going to go back. And she tells her daughter-in-laws to stay in the land of Moab. And Ruth, she won't hear of it. Back in verse 16, Ruth will say, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I'll die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death separates us." This is not a typical mother-in-law relationship. I'm sure that I've shared this here before, about the GPS that we have in our car, that we, on time to time, we will change the voice that it talks in. Sometimes, right now there's a British girl that gives me directions, but in past we've had Dr. Nightmare. And Dr. Nightmare, as you're traveling along, will say, "Did you hear that? It's coming from the trunk." You know, or whatever, like all these voices that he comes up with. "Don't pick up a hitchhiker," like whatever. And so he's not so helpful actually with directions, but he's quite humorous. I've wondered if I think maybe I should create a mother-in-law voice on the GPS that would probably sound a little differently. It might sound like, "You missed the turn, you idiot." Right? "She should have never married you." Recalculating, but of course you won't get that right. But this relationship Naomi has with her mother-in-law, and lots of us have wonderful relationships with our mother-in-law. This relationship is not like that. Ruth has such a dedication. And this is what she says as she makes that declaration, "Where you go, I'm going to go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your God will be my God. I'm going to die where you die." Verse 19, we pick up the story. Now the two of them, Ruth and Naomi, went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said, "Do not call me Naomi." And here's where she says, "Change my name. Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. And look at this. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, pleasant, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, daughter-in-law with her, returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. So she approaches Bethlehem. She's recognized. They say, "Is this the pleasant one?" She says, things have not been so pleasant. Don't even call me that name anymore, because God has dealt bitterly with me. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. You can choose to be bitter. You can choose to be bitter. Bitterness is a terrible thing. It destroys you. And it's like a poison. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. It affects us. It's why, as John was leading us, thank you, John, for leading us in communion today. As John was leading us, he referenced the Passover meal. It's why they had bitter herbs with that meal. The bitterness reminding them of the slavery in Egypt. Bitterness. Scripture will tell us, guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. We have to guard our hearts from bitterness no matter what we go through. That doesn't make light of anything that we go through. We must guard our hearts against bitterness. Bitterness is like a root that you can't necessarily just see on the surface, but it goes down, and it goes down deep. We have no idea how deep a bitter root goes, and it puts a stranglehold on our hearts, and it puts a stranglehold on love. And Scripture says to be careful about bitterness, lest a root of bitterness gets inside and takes root. And it says this phrase, unless many become defiled. It doesn't just affect us. It's contagious and affects others. When sorrowful things happen, to guard our hearts and not become bitter. We can ask why. We can, like the psalmist, cry out to God, God, why? Why this? I don't understand. We may not get an answer of the why. But Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. And come. It's this invitation to cast your cares upon him, for he cares for us. And we can come and we can say why, and we can say, I don't understand. And we can say, God, this hurts. We can tell him what's wrong. And we can tell him because he cares. But I would say this, don't let circumstance change who you are. No matter what you go through, don't let circumstance change who you are. She said this, I was full and now I'm empty. I was pleasant, but now I'm bitter, because the Lord has dealt bitterly with me. The other thing is, don't blame God. This is God's fault. All of this has happened. It's God's fault. It's an act of God that this took place. Listen. God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. How shall he not freely give us all things? The Lord loves us and has proved it and has demonstrated. It's not his fault. But she blames him. The amazing thing in this story that sometimes we don't notice is Ruth wasn't bitter. And she had lost her husband too. She had lost her husband, her father-in-law, her brother-in-law. And yet Ruth chose to not be bitter. In fact, she says to Naomi, this God of yours, this one that you're blaming, I'm going to serve him. What kind of declaration is that? This God. We read that, the phrase that she says about where you go, I'll go, where you lodge, I'll lodge. Your God will be my God, your people my people. She's making this declaration after her losing her husband. And Ruth is blaming God. God has done this, dealt treacherously with me. Naomi is blaming. And Ruth says, that's the God I'll serve. I will follow you and I will follow him. So they came to Bethlehem at the time of the harvest, and God shows kindness to her and allows her to discover the field of Boaz. She finds favor in his sight. Boaz is there. Ruth is working in the field. And he says to the guys, who's that? Who's that? And they say, that's Ruth. And he's already heard the story of how she left and came with Naomi back to Bethlehem, left her people, the tragedy that had touched her family. He says, who's that? That's Ruth. And then he says, here's the deal. Talks to the foreman, tell the boys, she's off limits. And he covers her with his protection. And he also covers her with provision. Says, as she's gleaning, leave some extra for her. Make sure that she gets more than enough. And so there's this protection and there's this provision, a beautiful picture. Let her gather. And then Boaz invites her to dinner. And as they're sharing a meal together, I don't know how it happened. Scripture doesn't unfold it, but it's something like Ruth saying to Boaz, hey, what's that? And he looks and turns around, and she starts stuffing food in her pockets to take home to Naomi. And then he turns back. Well, I didn't see anything. Oh, it must have been the sun playing tricks on me. I don't know how it unfolded, but she's sneaking food. She would be good at grocery shopping. You can just sneak a little here and there. she'll bring it home, this overwhelming amount. And when she gets home, Naomi, Moses, she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. It was 25 of barley. Then she took it and went to the city to her mother-in-law and saw what she had gleaned. And she brought it out and gave it to her, what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "What have we gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." So she told her mother-in-law in whom she had worked and said, "The man's name who worked today is Boaz." And it goes on to talk about, in the verses it will say, she will make this declaration, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has not forsaken his kindness to the living or the dead." Naomi will make this statement, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has not forsaken his kindness to the living and to the dead." This is Naomi speaking. She sees what's happened, how Boaz has come with provision and protection, and says these words, blessed be the Lord. Remember, it was God's fault. And now, "Blessed be the Lord, for he has not forsaken his kindness to the living or to the dead." And I've got to believe that scripture is true for me, and it's true for you. God is faithful, and God's faithfulness does not end when I die. He will continue to be faithful to my children. He will continue to be faithful. I've talked with widows both in this campus and in our Airdrie campus and shared this verse saying, when your husband died, it did not stop God's faithfulness. And in Isaiah, it tells us this, "I will pour my spirit upon your descendants and my blessing upon your offspring." God's faithfulness. Not even death can stop God's faithfulness. Blessed be the Lord, for he has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Forsaken. He hasn't forsaken. He hasn't, the word means departed. He hasn't abandoned us. And we can take refuge and courage in that. God is not the one who abandons us. And he doesn't forsake us. And he doesn't desert us. And when Naomi could see no future, "Just call me bitter because of all these things that have happened," there comes a moment, and it's not right away. She's traveled back to Bethlehem. She stayed there. It's not right away. But when she sees the kindness of God through an extended family member, she's able to turn around. Aren't you glad for God's faithfulness? Even when we can't see it, he is faithful. We see through a glass darkly. We see through a dim mirror. We see through a fog. Kindness to the dead. God's faithfulness doesn't end when we die. For Naomi, there was this expression of God's kindness, this aha moment, and realized God cares. Wouldn't that be amazing if for us we were able to see the faithfulness of God, the kindness of God through our extended family, through the people of God? When we go through sorrowful things, and we do, and we will, may we be able to see the kindness of God in the care of our extended family. May we be a church that cares for one another, that is able to show the faithfulness of God, the care of God. May we be a place where we're able to offer provision and protection and covering. Say, "I am standing with you. You don't have to go through this alone. I can't go through it exactly how you are. You are going through this, but you don't have to go through it alone. I want to be with you. I want to stand with you. I want to show you the kindness of God in these moments. I want to be hurtful. I want to be helpful. I want to come alongside just like Boaz did." And may those who don't yet know the Lord, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our communities, our family members, may they see as well the kindness of God extended from us. Because Scripture tells us this, that it's the goodness or it's the kindness of God that causes people that draws people to repentance. May we be a people who are able to show God's kindness, God's faithfulness, and may hearts and lives be touched. This morning, this last thing that I'd like to just close with on Thanksgiving Sunday, it's this phrase. I think I've got it on the screen. Yeah. It's this phrase that she says, "I went out full
and the Lord has brought me home again empty. I think in reading that, I don't know about you, but I hear focus on I was full and now I'm empty. But there's a few words in there that just stand out. But the Lord has brought me home again. The Lord has brought me home again. And then we see what happens when she's home. But the Lord has watched over her. The Lord has kept her. And his promises didn't end when Elimelech and the two boys died. His promises. He's still a faithful God. And I don't want my life this Thanksgiving Sunday to be empty. I don't want my circumstances to somehow empty me. I was full. I was full of thanks. And I went through these things and somehow I became empty. I want to remain full, full of thanks, that I've always got lots to be thankful for. God is faithful. He is good. He is kind. And I want to rest in that. Don't let my circumstances empty me of thankfulness, because he is faithful. Let's go ahead and pray this morning.